Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. I appreciate Karen reading for the second time in 2 weeks. Thank you. You read so well. And as she's reading Paul's letter to the Ephesians, St. Paul talks about having the eyes of your heart enlightened. And I hope that during this worship time, with God's presence and Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit, the eyes of your hearts are enlightened. Sarah was a little girl, 8 years old, and she loved her grandfather dearly. And she wasn't there when he was rushed to the hospital, and 2 days later, he was dead. Sarah never got a chance to say goodbye. A few months later, in October, she was at a birthday party of her friend, and they're giving out these helium balloons. So she took one home, and she went to her room, and she started writing a little letter to her grandfather in heaven with her return address. Inside the envelope was a letter that she wrote to her grandfather. It said, "Grandpa Bernie in heaven, up high." Kind of like Marguerite Saint Heaven from heaven. "Grandpa Bernie in heaven, up high. Hi, Grandpa, how are you? What's it like up there in heaven? I love you. I hope you can read this letter in heaven. Love, Sarah." A few months later, mid-December, a letter came addressed to Sarah Myers and family, and the letter had a York, Pennsylvania postmark. It had been mailed by a man named Donald Kapp. This letter began, "Dear Sarah, family and friends, your letter to Grandpa Bernie Myers has apparently reached its destination and was read by him. I understand they can't keep material things up there, so it drifted back to Earth. They just keep thoughts and memories and love and things like that." Donald Kapp found the balloon as he was hunting in the Pennsylvania woods near the Pennsylvania-Maryland border. And the balloon traveled 600 miles through 4 states before it landed in a forest in Pennsylvania. Sarah kept that note in her music box and would look at it almost every day. And Donald Kapp is a 63-year-old retired mailman who just happens to be also a grandfather. Donald Kapp is a saint of God. Yesterday, and today, well, actually November 1st is All Saints Day. In fact, it was my mother's birthday too. But today we remember those saints who have gone before us. In our prayers this morning, we're going to remember from our church, the ones we buried through our church this past year, two saints, and a time for you all to celebrate the saints who now have entered the church triumphant. We give thanks for the many good ways that these special people have touched our lives. They've inspired us, and they helped us to be who we are today. They inspired us in the gospel of Jesus Christ, or we wouldn't even be here today. Because of them, we continue that legacy of the good news of Jesus as we worship. One of my favorite writers is Frederick Buechner, who wrote a book called The Clown in the Belfry. And he wrote in that book about saints. He said, "I mean, saints are men and women who are made not out of plaster and platitudes and moral perfection, but out of human flesh and blood. I mean, saints who have their rough edges and their blind spots like anybody else does, but whose lives are transparent to something so extraordinary that every so often It stops us dead in our tracks. Ever experienced someone like that? Ever known someone like that? Saints. I mean, I can go through my life, so many people that have inspired me in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I remember one of my favorite bishops, Bishop McCoy, and, you know, Father Adrian von Kahn, my wife Joan, my mother, the time I got to meet in person Billy Graham. Wow, that was such a wonderful thing. Ask Carol or Janet about saints they met at either the restaurant, remember the stories you told, or the grocery store. Saints. I'm looking at saints right now who inspire me, who are here to worship God. Oh, yes, you and I are, as Luther would say, simul peccator et ustius. We're sinner and saint. We're always wrestling. Every day we've got to die and rise with Christ. Nevertheless, we're the saints of God. People see us as Christians. People notice that we got up on this day when we could have rolled over and slept in. Of course, it'd be extra hour. We went to sleep too long. But you came to church today, and you're here. Today we heard in our reading from Luke, Jesus was teaching one day in the midst of a great crowd of ordinary people, people like you and me. In that crowd, there were people who were ill, there were people who were poor, people who were anxious, people who were nervous, people who wanted some relief from some problems that were bothering them. And so they heard about this preacher, this Jesus, and they wanted to see him. They wanted to hear him. And they're hoping for something. And Jesus looked at this great crowd. He looked over this multitude. He looked them in the eyes, and he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." You don't hear that too often, do you? Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are, the kingdom of God belongs to you. The ones who are overlooked. The ones that are forgotten. The ones that come up to you and you didn't really want to keep away because they might want money or something. You know, the poor, the marginalized. Jesus looks at these people and he says in so many words, "You are not forgotten. In fact, you are blessed by God." Oh, how happy when the eyes of their hearts were enlightened by the word of Jesus. How happy they must have been. Oh, how joyous they must have been. Then he turns to the hungry and to those who weep. And he calls them, not you poor dear, blessed. In the coming rule of God, in the coming kingdom of God, the way God sees things, the hungry will be filled. And those who are weeping, their tears will be dried. Not only that, they will laugh with joy in the presence of the living God. His words, Jesus' words, gave hope to people who were being ground down by life after one trouble after another, one darn thing after another. Just when you think your head's above water, you go under again. Their dashed dreams, their crushed self-esteem, nothing to look forward to. And what does Jesus say? What does Jesus say to them? You're blessed by Jesus. God has not forgotten them. Oh, how happy they are. Because when you're at the end of your rope, all you can do is say, "Lord, help." You know, I've told you this before. Remember that guy fell over the cliff and he grabbed onto this root? He's hanging there. He said, "Oh, Lord, help me, help me." And he said, "I am God, I hear you." He said, "Oh, help me, save me, what can I do?" He said, "Just let go, and I will catch you in my hands and take you safely to earth." He said, "Oh, is there anybody else up there?" You know, then Jesus, he looks at his disciples, and Jesus also spoke a special word to them. He says, you who take me seriously, you who are my students, and I am your teacher, blessed are you when people exclude you. Jesus knew his gospel would upset people and have other gospels, other gods. You know, they couldn't believe that this itinerant man was the Messiah, was a rabbi. And then the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have other agendas, but the agenda of Jesus Christ. Or they use other agendas and put his name to it and use him. He knew the going would be tough for his true followers. And to his disciples that would have the courage to speak truth to corrupt power, to speak truth to election deniers and conspiracy theorists, to speak truth to lies, as this is not true. This is hurting people. To his disciples and his disciples now, Jesus speaks words of hope, words of love and joy, words of truth, because he is the truth, the way, and the life. To his disciples then, and to you and I who are disciples today, when the going gets tough, and it will, you know you're on the right track. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. On earth you might have some suffering, but never fear, Jesus has overcome the world. Now, what about the rich? What about those who are well fed? What about those who laugh? Those who have good reputations? Nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. Don't you like it when people speak well of you? You hate it when they gossip about you, right? Me too, yeah. But the problem is always those whom God blesses and have such good things in so many ways, they sometimes forget. They forget where their blessings come from. They forget who to thank. And they forget that they are blessed to what? Be a blessing. To whom much is given, much is expected. What you cast upon the waters will come back to you. So he expects to be a blessing to others. Those who are rich, he expects will take the first tenth, the tithe, off the top and give to the mission of Christ, the top of their first fruits and through the church. And anything on top of that, 11%, whatever, becomes their offering to the poor, those in need, those to the North Hills Community Outreach, those who have need help, to help people in our area and overseas. When you do your part for the poor, for the refugee, for the immigrant, for the widow, for the orphan, who do you do it for really, most deeply? You do it for Jesus. Jesus, because he's in them. When this happens, great. Oh, how happy you are. When it doesn't, the consequences of selfish, narcissistic, me first lifestyle is what? Woe. Woe. Jesus spells it out. Woe. So we need the example of the saints who preceded us. Those saints who are buried out there and in other places. Those saints that are here in church who pray for each other today and in other churches worshiping today. We need their prayers. We need their strength. We need their support to persevere and move forward with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Models who taught us how to love even our enemies, to do good even for those who hurt us, to pray for those who persecute us. We need the Holy Spirit. We need other Christians to show us models and examples of that, because by ourselves, we can't do it. We need each other. We need each other. Where two or more are gathered, Christ is present. But there's no cowboys out there in the faith. You need each other. You know, there was a great English leader, the Duke of Wellington, who won many battles. The Duke of Wellington, you can still read about him. He was very victorious. And he was asked by once somebody, how do your soldiers win so many battles? Well, he replied, they're no braver than other soldiers. They are no more brilliant than other soldiers. But, they hold on 5 minutes longer than others. 5 minutes longer. A saint is one who follows Jesus and prays for 5 minutes longer, who knows then in the heart of hearts that this is the way God is leading and does it, and then prays to thank God or pray to find out where God would have you go next. 5 minutes. And so a saint can hang in there with God's grace and God's word, especially when the going gets tough, to share the gospel, to pray for those who are ill, to love and pray even for the enemy, to work for justice, to vote for the person who you feel will help. You know, I was reading about the Iroquois Indians, and when they made decisions, it was not expedient. It was, how would this decision affect 6-7 generations from now? To vote for people who have that kind of vision, statesmen and stateswomen, to give them the time and ability to give money for those in need. For saints are ones who celebrate the gifts of others in their lives. They're the gift of diversity. You can learn from different people. I mean, since my son Mark married a Chinese girl who lives in Singapore, I've learned to appreciate the Chinese customs. I learned as a Christian to appreciate certain things about Buddhism. You know, you start learning about how God's working through many people, and you can see very moral people who are in different traditions. Then you can share through loving them the Christ in you, and then they'll be more willing to hear you because you're talking with them and you love them rather than judging them, pointing fingers at them, writing them off. And to open up and let Christ shine through us, to be transparent to the transcendent, because people will see something in you. And who knows? Someday, or maybe even now, you may be walking down the street and you'll stop somebody dead in their tracks because they'll see something in you. And that's your opportunity to share with them about your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and what he has done for you. They will see God in you. Oh, how happy that day will be. Oh, how joyous. And you'll find yourself spontaneously just leaping for joy because you are blessed by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's his word, and we can count on it. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.